This is your World War III update. Here's what's going on. Of course, I have to comment on the drone situation. All manner of malarkey is unfolding as everybody is continuously perplexed by not only the government's reaction or lack thereof, but the media circus surrounding this incident. So I'm going to share my opinions on what I think is going on, and I think it's the most even-keeled opinion. Of course, there are very fringe opinions with respect to what's going on, everything from alien invasion prep to Project Blue Beam, you name every single conspiracy theory is coming out of the woodwork, but I'm going to tell you what I think it truly is all about, and it's not as fantastical as a lot of people would like, but I think it's the most plausible explanation, so stick with us for that. This is going to be a very brief, superficial overview. I've not had time to really do a deep dive today, guys. It's been crazy busy around here. Everybody is preparing. Like I said yesterday, the government contacted us. The U.S. government wanted us to put in a bid for ThyroSafe. They want 200,000 potassium iodide nuclear medication tablets for their, I don't know what, if it's for continuity of government or if it's just run-of-the-mill emergency preparedness. It sounds like continuity of government to me, considering that all European countries right now are ramping up their preparedness, just like Switzerland, as you can see here, plans a revamp of Cold War era nuclear bunker network. Of course, Switzerland is one of the most prepared countries in the world. I'm not sure if their gun laws are the same, but there was a time when it was mandatory to own a firearm and to know how to use it. And that's how it should be. We should have cultures of preparedness. Switzerland is the model that everyone should seek to emulate. But for some reason, only the Swiss are allowed to do this. Maybe that's why everybody wants to put their money there. Now, here's what's going on in Switzerland. Existing shelters for all 9 million residents, that has been something that's went back since 1963 when they put laws in due to the Cold War. That includes foreigners and refugees. So there is a bunker for every single individual in the country right now. The government, however, plans on upgrading all of these shelters, spending $250 million to improve aging shelters, which really won't take you that far in Switzerland, to be brutally honest. Everything is quite expensive there, which is why people are so rich and it's why they're so in debt. But they can be, because everybody's storing their gold there. I'm not sure if that's a good idea or a bad idea as we descend into late stage civilization. Removing exceptions and ensuring functionality, this 250 mil is, I guess, going to upgrade a few shelters anyways. Some shelters were found to be unusable, so owners have been given deadlines to fix the faults or pay penalties. So this is required by law that people have a place to take refuge in should the proverbial shit hit the fan. These facilities include command centers, hospitals, and even art protection bunkers. Okay, now Switzerland is not the only one who's preparing. Germany has reiterated their calls to be prepared. Of course, we're hearing about this every other day. Another European country is promoting preparedness. They're strongly advised to keep food and water and supplies for periods of hybrid warfare. Of course, they're talking about 72 hours. Residents of Germany must be prepared for long power outages due to a growing number of hybrid attacks on the country. You see, this is how they kind of time release the bad news, right? They don't want people to panic, but they want you to get incrementally more prepared. You start with 72 hours and then maybe few months down the road, they say, you know, we're going to extend that to 7 days. And then it starts to become a hobby for people. So people start to become intrinsically motivated and start taking it upon themselves to be more and more prepared. This, of course, is coming from Civil Protection and Defense Management, René Funk. I'm not sure if we have a similar position within our government where you have disaster management merged with civil protection. I presume that it'd be something under the auspices of FEMA in the United States. I don't even know if we have anything in Canada to that effect. I'm sure we do, but I'm sure it's wholly inept at addressing the needs of the population, which is why you need to take matters into your own hands. The government doesn't care if people are kicking in your door in the middle of the night. They can't protect Canadian citizens, but they don't want you to have a gun
to protect yourself when times are good? How do you think they're going to regard you when times are bad? Now, let's hear what Mark Rutte, chief of NATO, has to say. He is demonstrating a lot of alacrity here with the idea of boosting NATO's military expenditures, as well as going into a full-on war mobilization footing. But he says, don't worry, we're not at war. So let's hear what he has to say.
I just delivered a speech here of about 25 minutes, and I will try to summarize it in less than a minute. So start the clock. Basically, what I said here today is that today, yes, our defense is strong enough to defend ourselves. But in 4 or 5 years, we are in difficulty because China and Russia are ramping up defense spending and defense production. So we have to do two things.
These guys really think that they have a few years. I mean, think about that. They're pushing the Russians. Russia has now been pushed out of Syria. They're evacuating their bases today, if you didn't know. But they're pushing the Russians, and only now are they starting to realize how wholly unprepared they are to deal with this issue. Well, the same is true with civil defense. And the same is true with respect to their plan for civilians. They don't even have a plan to defend the country, much less take care of the civilians when the shit hits the fan.
First of all, we have to spend more. We cannot stick to this famous 2%. We have to do considerably more to make sure that longer term, our deterrence will stay strong. But we also have...
How's the economy in Europe doing since they got cut off cheap Russian gas? Now they're asking you to spend more. Do you think that's going to lead to social unrest? Social unrest is going to beget a militarization of the police forces and authoritarianism, and we all know how that cycle goes.
To ramp up defense production, get more innovation into our defense systems. AI and quantum, etc., we all need to bring this to the battlefield to make sure that we can defend ourselves by using these new technologies. In summary, what I said is that, yes, today, we are not at war.
Yes, you are.
So, no war today.
Yes, there's a lot of war today, and you're funding it.
But we are not at peace either.
That's true.
And if long term we want to prevent war, we have to spend.
We have to make more war. All right, there you have it. That's a strategy. To prevent war, we need to make more war. I get it. Peace through strength, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we're always the ones who are starting shit all around the world, and then we complain about it when people fight back. Russia is preparing to evacuate its bases from Syria completely. Massive columns of Russian soldiers have been observed returning to the ports, and there has been a nonstop cargo plane flights from Russian bases since Syria collapsed. So it appears as though they have some sort of amnesty to evacuate the country. We don't know how long that's going to be. Some people are saying, oh, no, they're going to keep their bases as a hub to enter into Africa. But I don't understand what interest the existing government, if you can call it that, Jolani, who appears to be another NATO, CIA, Mossad, MI6 lackey, we don't know if they're going to have any need for the Russians to be there. So it appears as though the Russians are either getting the boot, which perhaps for them at this point in time to focus on Ukraine is not a bad idea. However, this is their southern flank, and this did provide a degree of cover, especially air defense. So it was strategic. Having control of Syria was very strategic, and that is one less option they have, which means that they're far more likely to have to resort to utilizing non-conventional methods in order to defend themselves when the war in Ukraine inevitably ramps up. Now, Trump, today, should we go to Trump? And let's do this first. Let's go here. Because some people are saying that now that the journey has been cut a lot shorter for Israeli warplanes, that they could potentially now not have to worry about Syrian air defense, and that they could go, the trip has been made much shorter now to entering into Iran. However, this presumes that they would, you know, have to, the flight would still be as long. It's just that, I guess I'm not sure if they fly over Iraq. I'm pretty sure they do. I guess it would just remove some of the barriers to conducting such a strike. There was an article in the Israeli Times or the Times of Israel which suggested that there are currently talks that the Israelis might put into practice some of these plans to conduct strikes against Iran's nuclear facilities. Again, as far as I know, the West does not have a Reznik in their arsenal. They don't have non-conventional IRBMs or intermediate range ballistic missiles that have these multiple reentry vehicles that can travel at these exceptional bunker-busting speeds and inflict damage over large areas using ordnance, which is non-radioactive. So it's very likely they're going to have to use nukes. Now, Trump is also saying the same thing. So Trump has said today that they are mulling the possibility of conducting some sort of preemptive strike on Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, this could just be good old-fashioned Trump bluster to try to force the Iranians' hand, but with Iran having fewer options, every time, and I've made a short video about this long time ago that should have got traction, but perhaps it was ahead of its time. It was a very, high-budget animated video about how when a country depletes in their conventional forces, the likelihood of using their unconventional forces actually increases. Because, of course, if you're running out of conventional ammunition, but you have this stockpile of nuclear weapons, or perhaps you are nuclear edge state or a nuclear threshold state. If you're a nuclear threshold state, then the motivation to actually go nuclear increases. It intensifies because, of course, that is one way of potentially deterring a Israeli attack. But as I've said before, if Iran wants to go that route, they can't just come with one nuclear weapon on an untested deployment system. If Iran wants to establish real nuclear deterrence, they have to, presuming that the Russians aren't going to bring them under their nuclear umbrella yet, they're going to have to at least show a dozen of these nuclear warheads, and they're going to have to show the ability to put these onto ballistic missiles, which they very likely can. And they've already shown that they can penetrate Israel's air defense. Even the THAAD system will be insufficient to protect completely against an Iranian attack. Iran already has the civil defense infrastructure built to house these nuclear weapons in places where they can only be reached with tactical nukes. And even a tactical nuke is not necessarily guaranteed to be able to collapse a lot of these deep underground military bases. So what Trump is going to do, I don't know, because the only real option they have is a nuclear one. Now, if the U.S. and Israel did a combined onslaught and just, put every bomber and F-35 and F-16 in the region on Iran at once, I'm sure they could inflict a lot of damage. But then, of course, they would have to deal with Iran either certainly going nuclear or a massive attack against Israel, which, of course, now is not as much of a threat due to the collapse of Syria and Hezbollah rendered inert due to this ceasefire deal and the occupation of territory that was once occupied by Hezbollah now being infiltrated by the Lebanese military. However, Hezbollah still has a lot of fighting power as well, and anything can happen in Syria. Syria is a powder keg just because, you have people parading around right now. We're already starting to see the end of the honeymoon phase. There's people being paraded through the streets, people being tortured, people being murdered, public executions, extrajudicial killings. There's women who are getting beaten in the streets because they're not abiding by Sharia law or whatever type of law that gets imposed by the various sects that are fighting there. So it's already going to shit, and it's only going to get worse. So, Israel created a little bit of a buffer zone, but what they might come to find is that Assad, while he was bad and not on their side, sometimes the enemy is better than the one you don't, although we're pretty certain that Jelani and Zelensky might be related. If you ever looked at a picture of those two, if you watch my last video, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sure that they, you know, at least for now, they got the situation on lock, right? Now, let me just see. Yeah, I think I covered all of that there. Should we go into the drone conversation? Quickly talk about this major military exercise. This was the biggest military exercise that the Chinese Liberation Army conducted, a staggering, unprecedented, and extremely rare joint military exercise around the Taiwan Strait. This is the biggest since 1996. Okay, the PLA designated 7 reserved airspace zones east of Fujian and Zhejiang, spanning 800 plus miles from the December 9th to 11th. Taiwan detected 134 aircraft operating nearby. Taiwan, of course, is on a very high state of alert as a result of this. So this, of course, after Xi Jinping has rejected Donald Trump's invitation to the inauguration, signifying that we are going to be entering a very tumultuous period of U.S. and Chinese relations. And I suspect that the tariff war is only going to be the beginning, because everything could pop off very, very soon. Now that Turkey has essentially picked a side, finally, anything goes, because we're in the final phases of the World War III sorting process. Okay. There was also, just before I forget about this, a Russian who was designing missiles, some of Russia's most advanced missiles in Moscow, was assassinated by Ukrainian special services. So they're still running these kind of ops inside Moscow. Again, this is bad news, because this means that it makes all the more sense for Russia to use the bomb. Now, let's talk a little bit about what Donald Trump had to say about mystery drone sightings. Now, it's true. I should also address the fact that Donald Trump did finally, after like a month, comment, and I think he just did it impromptu in an interview. It didn't seem to be a statement that was very premeditated, but he did say that he was against using long-range weapons to do deep strikes into Russia. But the problem with Trump saying these things is that he's so capricious. One day he's saying one thing, and the next day he's doing something or putting somebody in a cabinet position, which completely contradicts what he just said. So classic political bluster. Don't take anything to the bank at this point in time. Everybody is just trying to tread water at this point, including Donald Trump. And I'm sure he's going to realize that this world that he's entered here in 2024, 2025, I should say, is much different than the one that he entered in 2016. Anyways, he says, mystery drone sightings all over the country. Can this really be happening without our government's knowledge? I don't think so. Let the public know, and now. Otherwise, shot them down, he says. Shot them down. Clear typo there. Hey, it happens to the best of us. All I can say with respect to the drone issue is my only rational explanation for it. Clearly, something is going on. There's no doubt about that. A lot of the videos that you're seeing, though, they're planes, they're these drones with lights on them. Well, if the drone was trying to be covert, or if it was conducting some sort of secretive action, then you wouldn't have these lights on the drone. So the ones with the lights, I think that's all just a smoke screen. I think this is all intentional media hype white noise, because all of the videos that we're seeing, you know, you could interpret them as planes, not all, but, and some are actual drones, but you know, you're also going to have copycats, right? So you're going to have people flying around their Mavic drones or their Autel drones just to, you know, get some views on TikTok or something. So there's that we have to contend with as well. But there is something going on here. Make no mistake that where there is smoke, there is fire. Of course, there was a Chinese national who was recently arrested for using a drone in around the Space Force airbase. So we know that this is a thing. Why is the media all in a buzz about this at the same time? That really is the question. And I think it is to obscure some legitimate national security risks. And at the same time, in addition to that, you're also able to justify, and John Kirby said this explicitly, he said that we are going to be pushing to put forth some sort of legislation that's going to authorize us to take the necessary action that we need against these drones. That, of course, will give the government more power and likely at the expense of civil liberties in some shape or form. Of course, the DJI drone ban is right around the corner, so this could be a part of the psychological warfare to justify the crackdown on DJI drones, which, of course, are all made in China. DJI, the best drone company in the world, is a Chinese company, so this could be partly ado with that to build up the negative sentiment towards drones. In fact, people are already shooting at drones. But the guy who was shooting at the drone that I seen on the video, it looked like it was a plane. Okay, so people are starting to get crazy about this, and you can't blame them for the following reasons. National Security Advisor John Kirby has stated, and I'll play this in the background, maybe I won't because I might get a strike, but the administration is urging Congress to pass legislation that expands existing counter-drone authorities, enabling better identification and mitigation of threats to airports and providing officials with the tools they need. Kirby is being incredibly contrived and just premeditated about all of this. It's like he has an agenda. Clearly, he has an agenda when he's speaking, even though he is rejecting that there is any risk to public safety here. You can clearly see in the way that he's rehearsed all of this that there is definitely agenda ado with this. And it's probably not nearly as fantastical as what a lot of people are saying. Look, the public and the media love this kind of stuff because especially on the heels of all the UFO talk, people, they're enamored with the possibility of UFOs and just mysteries and government conspiracies and things of that nature. The truth of the matter is, it probably does have something to do with national security. It's obfuscated by this white noise of drone reports and false reports and community check, community notes on half of these videos that are later debunked. But I do believe that there's something here, and it likely has something to do with national security. It's a DEFCON related. It's DEFCON adjacent because they know that we're approaching day X. We're approaching the day when we're going to go to war with China, Russia, and Iran. And the closer we get to that, the more we have to crack down. Now, part of the reason why they have to crack down and why they have to change the laws, because apparently the drone dealing with these kind of situations is a bureaucratic nightmare in the U.S., and I presume it's the same way in numerous other countries. The military can't just fire missiles or jam signals willy-nilly. FAA rules, and this makes perfect sense, because the military is not going to just start shooting down these drones around airports, especially when you have commercial flights piling in. FAA rules and civilian air traffic make that a big no-no. Even a soft kill option like nets or signal jammers requires mountains of approvals. So the Pentagon recently unveiled a counter-drone strategy. Well, how convenient. They had all this just ready to go, right? But for now, these drones get to live rent-free in American airspace. Just, it's illegal. It's illegal to fly drones in and around airports. So you're telling me they can't just simply track where the drone is going? It just makes no sense. Welcome to the future where drones hover over and red tape reigns supreme. I don't think it's quite that simple. In Germany, they're also experiencing similar incidents, particularly around the Ramstein Air Base. Unknown drones were spotted over that U.S. military base in Germany. The drones flew over the base on the evening of December 3rd and 4th in recent weeks. Suspicious drones have also appeared over the facilities of defense concern Rheinmetall and chemical giant BASF. This has been happening all over Europe, by the way, these drone incursions. So clearly there's a lot of espionage happening right now, getting ready for the hybrid war that is ramping up. But there was one other thing that Kirby said that I wanted to bring to your attention that I found was very suspicious. He said that we are at the beginning and not the end of this. Why would he say that if he denies that there is any confirmation of any sort of drones? Who would make a statement like that? That is a verbatim statement from John Kirby. He says, we are at the beginning and not the end of this. Well, how do you know that? Okay, so tacitly admitting that there is some truth here. There is some fire to this smoke, right? I believe that there is definitely a hidden agenda at work. And no, I'm not putting on the tinfoil hat. I'm not talking about Project Bluebeam or any of that shit. Maybe. But look, that's going to keep a lot of people entertained and busy. But the truth of the matter is, this probably pertains to national security. This pertains to the U.S. likely about to be infiltrated on a massive scale and likely to have a lot of sleeper cells activated, and they have to get ahead of the problem. Unfortunately, they're not really getting ahead of the problem because they're behind it. The government is always, always behind and then overreacting to things. Now, let's see what Kirby has to say here, because just I like how this reporter kind of holds his feet to the fire, but this all just seems theatrical. And I don't agree that it's a distraction. I hate that. That's a cop-out argument. Oh, it's a distraction from this, from this. We don't need distractions. We're buying Fartcoin, for frick's sakes. We're, you know, Hawktua coin. I mean, this is not a population that needs to be distracted to be ruled. So that is a cop-out argument. There is something going on here that extends beyond the mere media circus entertainment of it all, but we just don't know what that is yet. I would like to hear your opinions in the comment section below with respect to what you think this is all about, because I think that there's some truth here, and it's intentionally being perhaps downplayed because they know they can make people look like fools, and these videos that get easily debunked, and it's called poisoning the well. So if you want an issue, if you want the public to stop talking about something, you put up a bunch of fake stories, right? And then the media can point to those fake stories as discrediting the entirety of the argument or the claim, when really you've just debunked, it's somewhat of a straw man, I suppose, also. You've just debunked a false, you know, claim that you intentionally made. So it's a way to kind of control people's curiosity about this and suspend curiosity. So be very careful about sharing videos unless they've been thoroughly vetted, because there's a lot of mass hallucination going on right now as well, which does not help. And of course, because America is a country the most fixated on the UFO extraterrestrial life issue compared to any other country in the world, you get more UFO sightings in the United States, and that is essentially confirmation bias at work. You're going to have, if this kind of story is going to blow up anywhere, it's going to be in the U.S. Let's see what Kirby has to say.
Do you know
here.
And you can't say? Can you tell me that?
No, I'm telling you, Martha, I'm telling you, we don't
You
know.
Don't know.
Every, we
all
don't.
Right,
we
let me
can't corroborate
this.
Every single sighting. Some of them we have, not all of them, and we're working hard to do that. We know people are...
So they know there's a problem, but they're not willing to admit that it's a national security problem. The fact that they're talking about this at all, I mean, there's just been countless reports, and now every time somebody looks up in the sky and they think that, you know, what they're seeing is a drone, they're going to call and report it in. And that is just going to be added to the white noise. So, I don't know, let's see what else he has to say.
Afraid of it. We know people have concerns. We have those
sure.
same concerns.
Yeah, because they're flying over your house, and it sounds
of
like
course.
There are motorcycles landing on your roof.
Of
so let me ask you this. One, you know, person who watched this online said they think it's a Pterodynamics trans-wing drone.
One person who watched this stuff online.
XP-4, which is being developed by the U.S. Navy as a recon and logistics drone capable of...
Why would they have lights? Why would the lights be on?
Picking up and dropping off packages between land and moving ships in high seas and winds. You know, they're suggesting it's an American company. We asked the company. They said we can't speculate on the origin of the drones that are flying over New Jersey. So is that an avenue that has been... inspected, you know, is this a private company that is practicing something? And what wouldn't they have to clear something with somebody to have this kind of activity?
It could very well be, as I said, these could be commercially developed drones of some kind.
Why not just take one down and figure out what's going on?
Well, the idea of taking something down, again, you want to worry about public safety. First of all, we don't have enough conclusions to take that kind of a policy action, but let's...
That is true to an extent, because, of course, if they did take one of these drones down and it fell on a house, the same kind of excuse they used with the balloon. I don't think this is complete incompetence. They know stuff, okay? They know a lot that they're not telling us, obviously. These are obviously their drones, I think, a lot of them.